sa inyo, 4 hanggang maabot natin yung verse 8. Pagdating sa verse 8, sabay-sabay tayo magbasa ng verse number 8. Let me begin. Matthew 12, verse number 1. At that time, Jesus went on the Sabbath day through the corn, and his disciples were hungered and began to pluck the ears of corn and to eat.
But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day.
But he said unto them, Have ye not read what David did when he was in hunger, and they that were with him?
How he entered into the house of God, and did eat his showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them which were with him, but only for the priests.
Or have ye not read in the law on how that on the Sabbath day the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless?
But I say unto you, that in this place is one greater than the temple.
But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. Together,
for the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day.
Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless. Father, we thank you, Lord, for the word of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ as he presents some arguments against the legalism and the Pharisaical hypocrisy that was given to him here and a challenge to his messiahship. We pray, Lord, that you would encourage our hearts. Help us, Lord, to live for the King. Help us to see the King in action here and all the principles that revolve around this time. I pray that I would communicate this to your people, that your people would receive the Word of God and would be shaped and changed by the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. We thank you for this time, Lord. We confess our sins against you and ask that you forgive us and cleanse us. We ask the Holy Spirit of God would certainly show us truth from the Scriptures. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. So the Sabbath is a special day to the Jews. So Matthew wrote to the Jews, and the Jewish Baptist church that was found in Jerusalem. So this is the Jerusalem Baptist Church. And do you think the Jews that are saved and converted and baptized and added to the church, did they continue worshiping the Lord in the Sabbath day? No, they didn't do that. The Holy Spirit of God, remember, the Holy Spirit of God authenticated the local New Testament biblical church. So God's will for Christians today is to worship the Lord not on Sabbath, but on the first day of the week in honor of the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Sunday was the day he resurrected. Okay, so I know the world is looking towards Easter, celebrating the resurrection of Christ. We celebrate the resurrection of Christ every time we come to church to worship him on Sunday.
That's right.
So, and this is our Easter. Mm-hmm. It's been our Easter. It'll always be that way. So, the world is the world. They get a fever every year around this time. Got to do something. You know, and certainly, you know, that's a nice thing to think about the resurrection of Christ. But if you think about the resurrection of Christ once a year, that you're probably not born again saved. You understand that? Okay, so we love the resurrection of Christ every day. We live the resurrection of Christ every day by the power that he has given us to walk in newness of life. We do that every day by the power of the Holy Spirit of God. He's risen, and that doesn't just happen once a year. It didn't happen every year. It only happened once. And we commemorate that every time we come to church. So this is good teaching. Now, the Jews honor the Sabbath day, and in the Sabbath day, they're not supposed to work. Okay? Walang nagtatrabaho sa Sabbath. And, you know, even today, that's how it is in Israel today. So if you visit Israel, meron silang mga hotel, at sa hotel, meron silang Sabbath elevator. Have you heard of the Sabbath elevator? It opens on every floor on Sabbath. So nobody has to press the button, because pressing a button is work. Turning the light on and off is work. So automatically the lights turn on and off. And the elevator opens in every floor. So imagine if you were on the 11th floor, you have to wait to every time it goes down, up and down, up and down during the Sabbath. So from Friday night, 6 p.m. till Sunday, till Saturday, 6 p.m. is the whole Sabbath. So anyway, in chapters 12, verses 1 to 8, the binasa natin, there we see man's relationship to the Sabbath. And then I want to look at 9 to 21 also, and about how Jesus does well during the Sabbath day. And so you see the perspective here of what does the Jews say about the Sabbath and what the Lord Jesus says about the Sabbath. And so let's see this. First of all, makikita natin dito yung the Sabbath and man. That's chapter 12, verses 1 to 8. The Sabbath and man. So, what happened here in chapter 12, we see the Bible says, at that time. So there's an important mark in the book of Matthew. But makikita nyo yung at that time. That means, meron siyang ginawa na kakaiba. And so what did he do that was different? Well, he went on the Sabbath day through the corn. So he purposely waited for the Sabbath day to go through the cornfield and to pluck food on the Sabbath day. Now, why would Jesus do that on purpose? But kaya ginawa ng Panginoon yan? Hindi siya naghintay ng Lunes, hindi siya gumawa ng ganun ng Friday. Bakit sa Sabbath talagang pinursige ng Panginoon at that time? Well, I believe that Jesus Christ was pushing his way to the cross. So this is the only way that the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the scribes and the religious leaders would persecute Christ, as if he pushes them. And so he does that. At that time, Jesus went on Sabbath through the corn, and his disciples were and hungered, and began to pluck the ears of the corn and to eat. But when the Pharisees saw it, they said unto him, Behold, thy disciples do that which is not lawful to do upon the Sabbath day. Now, is it true that it is not lawful to do this on the Sabbath day? The answer is no. It is not so. It's a standard of the Pharisees. In order to avoid work, they added to the law by saying, if you pluck food out of the field, you are violating scripture. But that there's no scripture in that. In fact, the scriptures teach different. So we saw this morning when we were studying Deuteronomy, na meron palang provision ng Panginoon para sa mahihirap at sa gutom. So those that are hungry and would like to eat, they're more than welcome to take of the handfuls of remnants of the pieces that were left on the field. They were welcome to that, especially if they were hungry and needing that. So it says here, but, verse 3, but he said unto them, have ye not read what David did? So the Lord challenges the Pharisee. The Pharisee challenged him, and now he challenges the Pharisee. Now what did Jesus use to address or to rebuke the Pharisees? He uses the Old Testament. He goes back to the scriptures. So what do we know about the Messiah? Remember when Satan attacked Jesus? What did Jesus use to reply to the devil? He used the Old Testament scripture, the book of Deuteronomy, in fact. Okay? Well, now he goes back to the scriptures and he uses 1 Samuel chapter 21. Now, we won't go there yet, but let's look at this, what he says in verse number 3. And he said unto them, have ye not read what David did when he was an hungered, and they that were with him? And so there's a parallel here. David was the king, and he had men with him. Actually, David was a rejected king, and he had his men with him. And Jesus is the king, and he had his disciples with him. And he's saying, you know, David, he did the same thing when he went into the tabernacle and ate the showbread because he was hungry, and his men that were with him, they took of that sacred bread and ate because they were hungry. Did they violate the scriptures? No. They were hungry. They were needy. And so the Lord Jesus is saying here, you see, have ye not read what David did? You're experts in the law. You're Pharisees. You study the law. You're lawyers. You're scribes. You study the law. You know the Old Testament. Have you not read? Didn't you read in 1 Samuel chapter 21? So now let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 21. So let me encourage you to study the Bible so that when a situation comes, you can use the Bible. You know where to go. You know how to use the scriptures. You can become skillful in the Word of God. So let's do that and become more like Christ. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse number 5. 1 Samuel chapter 21, verse 5. And David answered the priest and said unto him, of a truth, woman hath been kept from us from these 3 days since I came out vessels, so the young men are holy. And the bread is in a manner common, yea, though it were sanctified this day in the vessel. Verse 6, so the priest gave him hollow bread, for there was no bread but the show bread that was taken from before the Lord, to put hot bread in the day when it was taken away. And so David asked to eat. They were hungry. They were needy. He was the king. And so the priest honored the king and fed him the show bread. Not for any reason, but to say he was hungry and he needed food. So there, let me just say this. The law is there, but it serves the need of man. Okay? So God does not elevate institution and formalities and ceremony above the need of man. It shows us here that Jesus Christ is the rejected king, and because he was the rejected king, the Sabbath law, everything, the Sabbath law, the temple, the Judaistic system, doesn't work because he's the king and he's been rejected. So if you reject the king, who gave the Sabbath day the Sabbath day? Who made the Sabbath day Sabbath? Who made the law? The lawgiver. Who's the lawgiver? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's God incarnate. So if you reject the lawgiver, how are you going to obey the law? It doesn't make sense, you see. And so here, they're eating food from the cornfield, from the grains out there. They're eating it. And the Pharisees are saying, you're working on the Sabbath day. And Jesus is saying, why are you using the Sabbath against man's needs? The Sabbath is not designed to punish the hungry man. The corn is provided in Deuteronomy chapter 25 for those that are hungry. And for those that need it, it's available. It's there for that on purpose. And so who's violating scripture? The Pharisees or Christ? It's the Pharisees who are adding to the scriptures and then elevating the law above the needs of man and then not acknowledging the Christ, the King. See? So Jesus makes three arguments. That's the first argument. Have ye not read David? Have ye not read David? Now, go over to verse number 4. How he entered into the house of God and did eat the showbread, which was not lawful for him to eat, neither for them that were with him, but only for the priests. So the Lord basically said, now you know they're not supposed to eat it, but the priest is supposed to eat it. This is not provided for anybody but the priest. However, because they were hungry, the priest gave it to them and they were able to eat. Verse number 5, this is the second argument. Or, have ye not read? Again, the Lord Jesus goes back to the scriptures. Have ye not read in the law how that on the Sabbath days the priests in the temple profane the Sabbath and are blameless? Now wait a minute. Nobody's supposed to work on the Sabbath day, but guess who's working on the Sabbath day? The priests. What are they doing? They're offering sacrifices, they're offering animals, they're cleansing themselves with the laver, they're offering incense, they're lighting the lamp in the tabernacle, in the temple, they're offering prayers before the curtain of God, they're sprinkling blood, they're taking ashes out. Who's working on the Sabbath day? The priests. And yet, don't you know that in the scriptures they are blameless? They are blameless. They perform ministries during the Sabbath day. So, there's his second argument. But, verse number 6, I say unto you, and here's his third, well, this is his second argument, that in this place, one greater than the temple. There is in this place, that in this place is one greater than the temple. So let me just clarify. Jesus is saying, you know, the priests are serving the Lord in the temple, but I am here. I'm the Messiah. I'm the Lord. I am greater than the temple. So the Messiah is also doing his work on the Sabbath day. And he's actually greater than the temple itself. He supersedes the Sabbath. He is Lord of the Sabbath. He can work. If the priest can work, so can the Messiah. Alright, that's his second argument. Now, his third argument. But, verse 7, if ye had known what this meaneth. Now, what's he going to do here in verse 7? He's going to quote the Old Testament, and he's going to quote from Hosea, the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse number 6. Now, we're going to go to Hosea 6:6 in a little bit, but let's look at what Jesus said in verse 7. But if ye had known what this meaneth, I will have mercy and not sacrifice, ye would not have condemned the guiltless. So what's he saying? He's saying, you know what God wants? He's not impressed with your sacrifices. He's not impressed with your standards. He's not impressed with your outward show. He's not impressed with your hypocrisy. You know what God really is looking for? He's looking for truth. He's looking for mercy in the inward parts. God wants your heart. He doesn't want your ceremony. He doesn't want your Sabbath observation. He wants your surrendered hearts, and you don't understand what this means. You have no idea of this. Here, man is hungry. Man needs help. Man needs food. You have food over here, but oh, this is holy stuff. You can't have this. And so you elevate tradition over the needs of man. You're a hypocrite. Jesus rebukes them with Hosea. Let's go to the book of Hosea, chapter 6, verse 6. Now, one of the most amazing books in the Old Testament, of course, is the Minor Prophets. We call them minor, but their message is major. Hosea chapter 6 and verse number 6. And let me remind you, Hosea married Gomer. And what's Gomer's problem? She became She became an adulteress. Okay? And she committed whoredom, as the Bible teaches here. And then they had children, and all the children's names have meanings and all that, that God is going to judge them in Jezreel, the first son. The second was a daughter, Lo-Ruhama, meaning to say no mercy. God will have no mercy to Israel. He's going to wipe them out. He's going to ask. He's going to cause Assyria to take over and destroy them. And then he's got a third child, a son, named Lo-Ami, meaning to say no people, or yeah, no people. Lo-Ruma is no people. Lo-Ami is no mercy. So they're going to be wiped out. And chapter 6, verse number 6. For I desired mercy and not sacrifice, and the knowledge of God more than burnt offerings. So Jesus is saying, okay, Pharisees, you're so right about, you think you're right, they're not. They added to the law, and so they violated the law. But you're so holy, and you're so, you appear so straight and so strict, but you neglect the heart. You neglect mercy. You neglect the knowledge of God. You have no idea. You're not part of the mercy of God. And God would not have your sacrifice. And he doesn't care for what you look like. So now everybody's here in church. All right, we're here in church. Everybody looks good that I can see. Amen. I hope you're doing good. I hope you feel as good as you look, you know, because you look pretty sharp. That's good. But is God impressed with how we look? Not the slightest bit. What is God impressed with? You know what he's impressed with? The heart. What kind of heart do you have in the house of God today? Is your heart right with God? That's what's important, you see. That's what Hosea 6:6 is saying. God is not impressed with birth sacrifices. God is not impressed with ceremony. God is impressed. God wants the heart. And so we have to examine our heart in this and make sure that we're right. And the Pharisees, all they were was an exterior, but inside they are full of dead men's bones, and they're open sepulcher, according to the scriptures, with a bunch of hypocrites. All right, verse number 8, in the Lord's third refutation. So he uses the scriptures 3 times here. Verse number 8, for the Son of Man is Lord, even of the Sabbath day. So who's the Son of Man? It's Jesus Christ. He is Lord. So the Son of Man, Jesus' favorite title, borrowed from Daniel chapter 9, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. So who's in charge? Jesus. So if Jesus wanted to work on the Sabbath day, he could jolly well work on the Sabbath day. So the Pharisees didn't acknowledge that. Now verse number 9. And when he was departed thence, he went into their synagogue. So, where did Jesus go from the cornfield? He went right to the synagogue on a Sabbath day. You see how Jesus is? You push him, he'll push you even worse. And he goes right to the synagogue. Verse number 10. And behold, there was a man which had his hand withered. And they asked him, saying, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath days? That they might accuse him. So, Jesus saw a man with a withered hand in the synagogue. In the synagogue! That's where all the Pharisees are. That's where all the scribes, that's where all the religious leaders. Religious people go to the synagogue. So what did Jesus do on the Sabbath? He goes right to the synagogue. He finds a man with a withered hand. And then he says, do you think the Son of Man, the Lord of the Sabbath, can heal this man on the Sabbath day? That's work. Verse 11, and he said unto them, what man shall be there among you that shall have one sheep? If it would fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? So if you own a sheep and you're walking, and the sheep falls in a ditch. It's in a ditch, and there's no hitch, and you don't have anything. And what are you going to do? It's Sabbath. Well, I'll come back for you on Monday. I'll just come back for you on Monday. I mean, you're in a hole here, and it's Sabbath. No, he says here, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? Would you lift it out? Would you lift your animal out to help it, to help the animal? Or would you just neglect it and leave it there and come back tomorrow because it's the Sabbath day? No, common sense says the animal is in need. You get that? Man is in need. He's hungry. He can eat. He can partake. He's hungry. There's a need. You don't elevate the ceremony over the people. You don't elevate the ceremony over an animal. The animal's in need. Verse 12, how much then is a man better than a sheep? So if you're going to help a sheep out of a ditch on a Sabbath day, would you help a man with a withered hand on a Sabbath day? Or would you wait? So I know you've been suffering, man. Your hand's withered. Let's just wait one more day before I heal you. Because this is the Sabbath day. Now isn't that ridiculous? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore is it lawful to do well on Sabbath days? So, if you're going to do well on Sabbath days, is that against the law of God? To do good on Sabbath days? No, it's not. That would be ridiculous. Verse 13. Then saith he to the man, stretch forth thine hand. Now see, he wanted him to stretch forth his hand. That would be work, according to the Jews. So, naalala niyo yung Sabbath elevator? Kaya na automatic yun para hindi na siya mag-stretch forth ng hand niya para i-press yung button. Because that is work. It's ridiculous. So Jesus said, stretch forth your hand. Because stretching forth his hand is work. And Jesus is trying to prove a point. Number one, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. I can do what I want to do. Number two, you have a need, and I'm here to meet your need. And number three, all these critics and all these hypocrites here, they don't really care for the law. They want to add to the law and add to the burden. So stretch forth thy hand. And he stretched it forth. So did he obey the Lord? Did the Lord tell him to stretch forth his hand?
Yes.
Did he obey the Lord?
Yes.
Did God bless him?
Yes.
What if he didn't stretch forth his hand? Would the Lord bless him? No. God only blesses obedience. Okay? So if there's a principle in Scripture that God taught you, if you don't obey the Scripture, God can't bless you. So stretch forth your hand. And he stretched it forth. And it was restored whole, like as the other. So 100% healing. 100% healing. So do you think everybody was happy? Verse 14. Then the Pharisees wowed and held a council against him, how they might destroy him. Did you see what he did? What did he do? He healed the man on the Sabbath day. He gave him back his hand. Is that a miracle? Yeah. But he did it on the Sabbath. But he should have waited tomorrow. So now what are we going to do? We're going to kill. How are we going to kill him? Verse 15, but when Jesus knew it, he withdrew himself from thence. So he withdrew himself from thence. So, tingnan mo yung pattern ng Panginoon. Opposition, withdrawal, to continue his ministry. Opposition, withdrawal, to continue his ministry. He withdrew himself from thence. And great multitudes followed him. And just to pour salt on the wound, he healed them all.
on the Sabbath day and charged them that they should not make him known. The only thing is, Jesus said, I don't want you telling anybody that I healed you. But I want you to know, if you follow me, I'm going to heal all of you. And he healed them all, 100% healing. So again, can anybody heal like Jesus? No. No, there's only one healer. It's the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course, Jesus delegated his disciples, the apostles were able to do the same thing, delegated from Christ. But today, in our day and age, do we see instant 100% healing? No, you're not going to see that. Why? Because the Messiah is not here. The Messiah is just, he's not here, literally, physically here. Now, he's here in spirit. He's here essentially through this person of Jesus Christ. He walks in the midst of our church. He is present with us according to the scriptures. But as far as his office as Messiah, the mediator, he is not here. And so there's no healing. We can pray for healing. And if the Lord answers, that's his mercy and his grace, and we thank him for it. So he had a hidden Messiah motif here, verse 16. He didn't want anybody to know that he was the Messiah yet because they weren't prepared to receive a spiritual Messiah. They were prepared to receive a political Messiah and a healing Messiah and a physical Messiah. They like all that, but they don't like the spiritual part of it. They don't repent. They don't believe. And so they're not saved. Although they're healed physically, they're not saved spiritually. So physical healing doesn't mean you're saved spiritually. And furthermore, spiritual salvation is more important than physical healing. The physical is good for 70 years, if you have a good number of years, and then 80 by reason of strength, according to the scriptures. So, but if you're healed spiritually, you will live with the Lord forever in the presence of the Lord. You'll never be separated from him ever again. So it's great to be spiritually healed instead of physical. Verse 17, that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by Esaias, the prophet, saying. So here Matthew comes back to his thesis. There's only one man qualified to fulfill Isaiah, the scriptures in Isaiah. So Matthew's been doing this. He did it in the first few chapters of his book. Now he's going back to this idea. Oh yeah, by the way, Jesus is healing because he's fulfilling what Isaiah is talking about. So let's see. Verse 18. Behold, my servant whom I have chosen, my beloved in whom my soul is well pleased, I will put my spirit upon him, and he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. So there's the Trinity. God the Father speaking about God the Son, and he's giving him the Spirit. So there you have the Trinity there. But he shall show judgment to the Gentiles. Verse 19, he shall not strive nor cry, neither shall any man hear his voice in the streets. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. What's this bruised reed? Yung bruised reed, yung reed halaman. Yung bruised reed, yung halaman na nabale, o yung halaman na ipit. So, you know what happens when you bruise a reed? It bends, it's broken, it's a bruised reed. And a smoking flax, what's that? That's basically a plant that was scorched, and now it's smoking, it's almost burnt up. What does he say here? A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench, till he send forth judgment unto victory. You know what that's saying? That God is not going to judge the humble. If you're broken, and if you're smoking, not smoking, a smoking flax, a smoking flax. If God has humbled you, then you avoid the judgment of God unto victory. The Lord saves humble sinners. That's what he's doing. Now, do you think the Pharisees are humble or proud?
They're proud. They don't fit the bruised reed and the smoking flax. They will be in judgment, basically. So where does that come from? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42. Do you notice how the New Testament continues what the Old Testament's saying? And there's a continuity here. There's an intertextuality here. Isaiah chapter 42. Isaiah 42 verse 1. Isaiah 42 verse 1. Behold, my servant whom I uphold, mine elect, in whom my soul delighteth. I have put my spirit upon him, and he shall bring forth judgment to the Gentiles. He shall not cry, nor lift up, nor cause his voice to be heard in the street. A bruised reed shall he not break, a smoking flax shall he not quench. He shall bring forth judgment unto truth. Okay? So they're not exactly the same words. So then what we say is this. Matthew is quoting Jesus, and Jesus is paraphrasing what Isaiah said. Okay? So there's no loss of words here. These are the words of the Lord. And so we don't have a word-for-word quote in this section here. We have a quote from the Lord. Matthew quotes the Lord paraphrase Isaiah. So that's what we have here. All right? So let's go back to Matthew chapter 12. So now, go over to verse number 21. Verse 21. And in his name shall the Gentiles trust. In his name shall the Gentiles trust. And so that scripture will be fulfilled here shortly. Chapter 12, verse 20. That's where we'll end here for now. Now, and then we'll move on to chapter 12, verse 22 next week. Continuing on in more opposition to the king. So, in the face of Jewish rejection, Matthew prepares his reader for a universal Messiah who will save the Gentiles. Therefore, giving the Gentiles the hope of eternal life and the forgiveness of sins and entrance into the kingdom of heaven. Though the Lord Jesus remains a hidden Messiah, he's increasing his pushback against the religious hypocrites, thus increasing his steps towards the cross. And in doing this, he's fulfilling the plan of God for salvation of mankind. So here we have chapter 12, more opposition against the king, and the king refutes the opposition with the scriptures. All right? So, anong challenge sa atin ngayon? Tapos natin yung sermon. We're done with the message. But in every preaching, you always have to make application. Okay? So, application. Ano yung mga applications natin dito? Number one, kung si Kristo gumagamit ng scriptures, dapat tayo bilang mananampalataya ay gumagamit din ng scriptures. Okay? So, matutunan na sana natin ang salita ng Diyos para pag may situation na dumating, meron tayong scriptures na ready. We have to be ready in the scriptures. Okay? So, number two, God is not impressed with the outward exterior. God is looking for the heart. He's looking for the heart. So, what kind of heart do we have today before the Lord? Only the Lord knows our heart. Okay? So we like to put on an exterior, but God is not impressed with that. He's looking for the heart. So I pray, I hope. Again, I say, you look great. I hope your heart is good and better than what you look. Alright? And then we have here that Jesus helps the humble. He doesn't help the proud. And so on and so forth. Let's pray and ask the Lord to bless them. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, that Jesus is the Lord of the Sabbath. And we thank you, God, that all the Old Testament ordinances and writings that were against us are blotted out by the blood of Christ. And we don't have to celebrate Sabbath, but we can celebrate the Lord's Day every Sunday. And we know that this is the will of God for every believer. to be saved, to be baptized, and to be added to a church, and to worship the Lord and serve Him through the church until Jesus returns, or until we are raptured or die, whichever comes first. But help us to have faithful, willing, and joyful hearts full of the Holy Spirit and the Scriptures dwelling in our hearts richly because of Jesus Christ. Help us to meditate on the truths that we hear today from the morning service, from the Sunday school classes, and from the afternoon service. Help us to become a people of the book, and watching and caring for our interior and our hearts as much as we put emphasis on the outside, and even more so that we would take care of our hearts, because out of the heart flows the issues of life. We love you, Lord, and ask your blessing on us now. In Jesus' name, amen. With your heads bowed and your eyes closed, how many would say this, Brother Bill, I am not born again. I do not know the Lord of the Sabbath. I'm not quite sure about these things. I have a good exterior, but my heart is wrong. And I want to confess that before the Lord. And I want Jesus Christ to come into my life. I'm willing to receive Him as my Lord and Savior. Here's my hand. Please pray for me. Anybody like that? I'll pray for you. Please pray for me, Brother Bill. My heart is not right. I'd like to pray for you. All right? How many would say this, Brother Bill? I'm not perfect, but I know Jesus is my Lord and Savior, and I have Him in my heart as my Lord and Savior. Can I see your hand as a testimony? God bless you. That's good. I'm glad for that. Amen. If the rapture takes place, this will be an almost empty room. That's great. One more time, Brother Bill, please pray for me. I'm not sure. I'd like to be sure. I'd like to receive Jesus into my heart as my Savior. Anybody like that at all? Can I see your hand? God bless you. It's in the heart. You believe in Him, repent, and trust in Him, He'll save you. Guaranteed, because He said so in His Word. He is the Savior. He loves you. Died on the cross for you. Anybody else? Pray for me. I don't know for sure. All right, let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord, for today. We thank you that we don't have to impress one another. We don't have to look like anything, but we certainly would like to look like Jesus Christ in our walk, in our actions, in our talk, in our mindset, Lord, in our heart, in the inward parts, Lord, that really matters to you, God, to be more like Christ. I pray you blessing upon us, Lord. We're not worthy, but we thank you that Jesus makes us worthy, and we love you for sending Him. We ask that